Good day, folks. I'm John Nelson, head bookkeeper of the Colson Packet Company. That's the steamboat line in Yankton, Dakota Territory. I've worked on the Missouri River steamers for almost 40 years. As a result, folks always seem to be asking me about life on the Missouri. They're talking about adventure, excitement, and romance. Well, I haven't really noticed much of that myself. What I have seen is a lot of danger and a lot of hard work in the name of making a profit. Now, I know a lot of folks have an idea in their heads about what a steamboat looks like. And often as not, they're thinking about those prissy Mississippi River steamers, not our Missouri River mountain boats. What's the difference? Well, you look at those Mississippi boats and you see a whole lot of fancy brass and wood trim, big chandeliers, decorative doodads. You don't see that on a mountain boat. Here on the Missouri, a boat has to be as light as we can make her. We don't always have a lot of water to float in, and all those doodads just add weight. Boat can only carry so much cargo, still draw shallow enough to get up and down the river. We run our boats to make money. Cargo pays, doodads don't. Now, you take the Far West, the boat I was on last year with Captain Marsh. There's a fine example of a mountain boat, as far as I'm concerned. Just a little bit on the long side at 190 feet, but only about 30 wide. Now, the main deck is completely open on the sides, except for the engine room. Above that, on the boiler deck, are the cabins. The cabins only run about a third of the boat's length. There's enough room there for the boat's officers, captain, the pilots, first mate, purser, and engineer, a few passengers. And last year, some of the 7th Cavalry officers stayed in the cabins time to time. There's a small dining room and, of course, a galley. On top of that is the pilot house. No trim, no doodads, not even railings on the upper decks. Anyone with any business up there is just expected to watch their step. Now up forward on the bow, there are the two spars for grasshoppering over sandbars and two steam-powered capstan winches to raise the boat on the spars or to pull it upstream. At the forward part of the main deck are the three boilers, 22 feet long each. They can burn over a cord of wood in just an hour. Steam pressure from those boilers runs about 130 pounds. And the engines in the enclosed aft sections we call 15 by 5s. That means the pistons are 15 inches in diameter and have a 5-foot stroke. At the very stern, of course, is the paddle wheel, about 18 feet in diameter. With all this, the Far West can float empty in about 20 inches of water, and fully loaded with 200 tons, she'll draw maybe 42 inches. Those Mississippi River boats and what we call lower river boats on the Missouri, they'll draw up to 6 feet, sometimes even more. Now, sidewheelers, which you don't see much up here, have a few maneuvering advantages, such as being able to turn the wheels in opposite directions or at different speeds. But sternwheelers, like the Far West, are a lot less prone to wheel damage from floating logs and such. We've got a lot of those on the Missouri, floating logs and such. Now, things that are floating generally don't cause too much damage, but the big boat killers are the snags. That's those big broken off trees. The root ball with the dirt and rocks hold them down to the river bottom so the ragged end can point downstream, just waiting for a steamer headed upstream at full power. Of course, there's no excuse for hitting an exposed snag, one that sticks up above the water. The real danger is from the snags just a foot or two under the surface. That's where a pilot has to read the water to look for the disturbances that hint at the danger just below. Now, a few years back, I was working for Captain Marsh as assistant clerk, but also helping out as a steersman for a few days while his regular steersman was suffering some sort of digestive distress and spending most of his time in the head. Now, we were a good ways upstream, approaching the Yellowstone. captain to the right of the wheel and I on the left, when suddenly Captain Marsh called out, "Pull her down hard to port." We spun the wheel quickly, then moments later, back to starboard. Captain Marsh gazed out the starboard window at the water, and I asked him, "What was that for?" He pointed at the water and said, "Snag." I said, "Where?" He pointed again and said, "There." Well, I figured he was pulling my leg, just wanted to see me jump, but I made a note of exactly where we were in relation to some trees on the bank. So when we headed downstream a week later, the water had dropped about a foot. And right where Captain Marsh had pointed, I saw that telltale ripple of a still submerged snag. This convinced me that Captain Marsh can smell a sandbar and hear a snag. Now, fire is always a concern on a wood boat, where we have boilers, hot iron, heating stoves, oil lanterns. Now, there was one boat that was lost to fire a few years back. Well, the official report attributed the loss to fire. The fact that the pilot got too close to an overhanging high bank and knocked the chimney down didn't quite make it into the official report. Now, other obstacles we have to overcome are the submerged sandbars, places where the river channel just flattens out and crosses the riverbed, too shallow even for a mountain boat. Now, there was one pilot a few years ago said that any boat that can't get up and walk when necessary has no business on the Missouri. Well, that's exactly what we do. We call it sparring or grasshoppering. Now, if you can picture a fellow walking on crutches, you might be able to figure out how we do it. We use those spars, the stout poles mounted on the bow, along with the winches to lift the bow. Then we push forward with the wheel, or we winch forward tied off to a rock or tree. Then we reset the spars, and we keep doing it over and over again until we're over the bar or until the current around and under the hull has opened up a deeper channel. Of course, there's some fair amount of danger in all this. I've seen fingers crushed on the winches, seen a warp line snap and break a man's leg. Another fella crippled for life when a spar fell. We can't claim this is easy work, but the pay is good. Danger is just a part of life on the Missouri. Men have to know what they're doing, have to put aside their differences and prejudices and be able to work together. But that's something I'll tell you about next time. Thanks for listening.